Dear brothers and sisters, I greet you very warmly in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we wish us God's richest blessing. As mentioned last night, you have all come in large numbers, almost like in previous times, all you visitors. You are welcome, whether you come from the direct European countries, Austria, Switzerland, Belgium, France, Netherlands, or whether you come from far, from Eastern Europe, for instance from Romania, from Czech Republic, Slovakia, and from ever we have come, also from Germany. We are here to hear God's word, to experience the Lord anew. It's not about to receive some blessing, but we have a desire that the Lord fulfills the promises which He has given us for this time in our lives. That's why we come together and stretch forth for it. I believe yesterday one brother from Canada was in our midst. He came with his whole family. He's on a journey throughout Europe, and he also visited us. May the Lord bless you and your family richly. Now we stand up and lay the service before the Lord. Heavenly Father, to you be the thanks and the praise for the grace and faithfulness which you give us every day anew. We are gathered here in your name, and you promised to be with us when we are gathered in your name. Be thou present in this time in which we are gathered here. Speak to us through thy word, and help, Lord, that we are not only hearers of thy word at the end, but that you can also help us by your grace to put everything into practice. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Perhaps let us sing two songs from this little booklet. We start with song number 19, Hold the Four. Number 19, Hold the Four. Amen. Praise and thanks. Let us go forward with him in this special time which has now dawned on us. Let us sing as the second song, song number 21, Rock of Ages, Clift for Me, Let Me Hide Myself in Thee. Hymn number 21. Amen. Praise and thanks. Before I read an opening word from Hebrews chapter 13, perhaps two or three things are to say, to be said here. Perhaps you noticed it. Today we have a camera here for the first part. Up to the end. It will be broadcasted internationally from the beginning. We also tried it to announce it on the internet homepage. But yesterday there were some questions concerning the missionary work and how things will continue here. It is like this, brothers and sisters, that the word must run and the truth must be proclaimed. And since many years and since many decades, there's always a practical part that was looked after naturally, and the things will continue as we are used to it. The brothers and sisters who do their ministry here at the mission center, be it in the office, be it in the dispatch or in the technique, over the years, they have gathered many experience over the years with our brother. And just that you know, the things will continue as usual. Nevertheless, there are many tasks that Brother Frank thought to be for granted. And now in the trustee board, the Lord must help us also that the decisions and the tasks which have to be made, that with the help of the Lord, they must be made in the wisdom of God. Also here, don't worry, the Lord will continue to lead us. There are some things to examine and to find out concerning some things, Also in the earthly matter, there's the responsibility. And as brothers and sisters who work here, we should carry them in our prayers. So I ask you to especially pray for our brothers Andreas Miskis and brother Alfred Borg, who now have the responsibility in an earthly way. It's not easy, we spoke about it, and therefore I ask you that you remember them in your prayers. There are many decisions which have to be made. We trust in the Lord and His leadership. Then perhaps there are some things to say. The 16th of June, we had here the funeral service of our brother, who passed away on the 8th of June. Many brothers and sisters were present here, and many brothers internationally were gathered here. And we heard of the brothers more than 4 hours to share their testimonies, their experiences. And we rejoiced. Nevertheless, we have to say, as it came to me also, that in this funeral service there was a testimony read of Brother Frank. There was no inheritance or direction said of Brother Frank, but each brother gave his testimony personally. And what the Lord gave to Brother Frank before he passed, it was the strongest. It spoke in his heart, "My servant, do not be troubled. I have started the work and I will finish it victoriously, in victory." There's nothing else to be said about this subject. When we speak about an inheritance of a servant of God, it did not exist in the ministry of a brother Branham. It was never in the ministry of any servant of God. It's about the revealed word of God. This was left to us as an inheritance and nothing else, and we may profit of it. The whole counsel of God was left unto us, and all brothers and sisters worldwide and all who would like to know it can be joined, can be connected, and in his local church he can grow and he can be taught and receive the blessing and stretch forth for the blessings of God. From the years 1966, even before, Brother Frank made missionary trips, but especially since 1966, our brother traveled the whole world because he was invited of ministering brethren. And he carried out his ministry from city to city, from country to country, and he gave out the food, and he preached the everlasting gospel, accompanied time and again by publications of his circular letters, of his brochures, of his literature, that gave us orientation over all these years. And as we heard it recently in the last years, since the 1980s, the word was given via cassettes and recordings. Later on came the video cassettes, and up to now, the meetings are recorded on DVDs and sent out solely because the true revealed word of God is reaching the ends of the earth. And our brother had it always on his heart. I come here to this church I didn't come with my own feet, but my parents brought me here with as a baby here, and I can say that I experienced many things here, and I can remember it very well that our brother Frank said it. Maybe we will put a satellite station here on the parking place. And as the ways of God, there is no satellite station here. But the technique is so far advanced that since 1998, since our brother Joachim Borg made the first homepage for the missionary center, live transmissions could be done in video and audio, first only in German and English, always with a thought of Matthew 24, verse 45-47, the household, to equip the household concerning the ministry in various local churches. And you see how the Lord laid everything. We have 12 translators, and the Lord took care for it, that the brothers are here who translate, and it's not only remained with the ministering brethren, but since 2005 approximately, we are broadcasting in 13 languages so that the people all over the world can be connected. As written in Acts 17, verse 11, that those in Berea were more noble and were searching the scriptures, so also we, through the sermon, we were told to open the scriptures and to search whether things are so. We received the word gladly, not only ministering brethren, but all the people of God worldwide were connected and acquainted with this ministry of spreading the gospel, so that we can judge things properly, as written in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29 and 30. The universal church has been equipped through all the publications, through all the sermons, and we received a complete classification of the ministry of Brother Branham. We can be glad about it, that the Lord has given us all these things. But we have also received with this a great responsibility, which we all have before the Lord. And therefore, it is now very important that we pay attention before the Lord. The history seems to repeat itself, as it was in the ministry of Brother Branham. Our brother is not even 1 month with the Lord, and already one receives the first news, where people begin to gather quotes, to publish quotations, sometimes even with Brother Frank's signature behind it. All the things which are coming now, we have to test and examine them with the word, to put them back into the scripture. And the question is, whatever some brothers are publishing, does it serve for the upbuilding of the church, or is it about that people are already here now to put certain statements for a certain subject, to put private matters into the foreground? And the question is always, and this we heard of the sermons of our brother, when such things come, where is the promise for it in the scripture? This is the basic question. If there is no promise in the scripture, there is no blessing for it. We must be very aware of that. And the other things, what we ask ourselves is, the things which are presented to us, Have you seen it in the practical things of the men of God? Paul writes, what you have seen in me, this do. And so also I personally want to do things, and I hope we all take it to heart. We received many material over all these years to get orientation, circulars, books, brochures, and thousands of sermons, which can be downloaded over the internet, which are for our upbuilding. May the Lord give us grace forward, that He gives us the wisdom in these things, to deal with these things. Many can speak about their personal experiences. I could also do that. When I think about, as a young boy, to be in the office at the hand of with my dad, and to receive a suite of the man of God who spoke so seriously in the front, and up what I experienced as a young boy, not married yet, with Brother Andreas Miskis together. Brother Frank said, brothers, if you don't know how to speak to a sister, then come to me. I will give you an advice. Yes, these are things which we experienced personally. But I asked myself the question in this connection, what remains for me, what remains for us of the ministry of our brother throughout all these years and decades? And firstly, it came to my mind that the revealed word, in the sense of Matthew 24, verse 45-47, is to be brought in a balanced way with Jesus Christ as the center of the proclamation. This I can testify of our brother, that Jesus Christ was always the center of the proclamation. Secondly, it stood out to me the emphasis of all the restored doctrines, all that was given to Brother Branham. It was placed by our brother scripturally into the Bible, and especially the Godhead. In Him we are and have our being, the oneness of God, the Godhead. This was the main subject of our brother. And when it comes to this point, to see how all these subjects are put practically, this is for me a great testimony. I was able to be with Brother Frank in 14 countries on various occasions. The whole counsel of God was always preached at all times. If it was a free evangelization, our brother took the liberty which he could get. But when it was in denominations, be it in Pentecostal churches, that God has given him so much wisdom and understanding to proclaim the whole counsel of God without criticizing the Pentecostal church. The whole counsel was preached. When he preached in the Baptist church, he didn't criticize the Baptists. This was really wisdom which the Lord gave to our brother. May the Lord give us wisdom also in the ministry of local churches. Then, in closing, then we read Hebrews 13, one subject. Many were offended at this, that our brother were told, sometimes he wanted to deal with everybody, he wanted to make it well with everybody. Yes, brothers and sisters, if the love of God is in you, it tries the utmost, except it's against the word of God. And it became so great to me, and it stood out to me, when a subject was started in a brotherly meeting, or be it in a question hour, our brother, led by the Spirit of God, the question which was asked, in the first two or three sentences, he always said, what is the biblical point of view? And he hoped that all are satisfied with it and go their way. But I also experienced many times that people were there who were not so happy about it, and they started to argument, to place arguments. And I could observe that Brother Frank was withdrawing humbly, quickly, because he noticed that the subject didn't fall on the right ground in the heart. And he went home. I can say only one thing in closing as a testimony. What a blessing is on it to obey the instructions of a man of God, especially about his ministry and about the things which are joined with the scripture. And I gave the testimony here recently, and I want to repeat it, that you see how the Spirit of God worked through our brother. In the year 2016, we were in Moldavia for an evangelization, and many people came together. There came a man on crutches, and his right leg was paralyzed. He could not move his right leg. And Brother Frank preached the whole counsel of God. Praise the thanks. Also, on the subject of healing, he didn't go into it at all. And then the meeting was finished, and this man comes to the front for prayer and stands before Brother Frank and says, I want to be healed as in the times of Jesus, on the spot. And Brother Frank shaked his head and said, say again. And the brother said, the man said, I want to be healed as in the times of Jesus, on the spot. And I stood there, and some other brothers also. And I thought, man of God, what now? But you see, as the leading of the Spirit is, Brother Frank looked at the man and says, it's not about a physical problem here. You need deliverance. He says to the man on the head, you need deliverance. And now there are two possibilities. If the Spirit of God speaks through the Word and the Spirit, there are two possibilities. We start to argument. It would have been free to the man. He says, I want to be healed. I tell you, there would have been a general prayer, and the man would have gone his way. But he chose the part of God. He looked back and said to Brother Frank, this is correct. Please pray for me. And Brother Frank started to pray for this man, for deliverance. And he was still praying for deliverance. All of a sudden, there came power, the strength into the leg of this man, and he could move his leg, and he was delivered, healed, and saved. And he went out of the building. He took the crutches on his arms, and he said to the brothers, I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's he heard in the sermon. Brothers and sisters, whatever happens, when the Spirit speaks, may we really choose the right thing and hearken and remember what the men of God have done in our midst and what they taught us. May the Lord give us grace. Please forgive me. It's a bit long, but it was important to me to say this, that we don't think now we can do what we like, but what was left to us in deed and word, that we obey this. Let us read from Hebrews 13, from verse 7. Hebrews 13, from verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is good, it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. Let us stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and for your grace that you brought us so far to this place of worship. What we have heard and read, may it be for our blessing, for our upbuilding. Speak now to us through thy word. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that we also recognize this in the ministry of our brother. Give us the right attitude to your word, for that what your word has to say to us. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your grace. Amen. Now, before we pray together, I would like to read a word, and I would like to ask that we stand up for it. A word from 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Up to here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning hour, that you have preserved us, that you have shown us grace to come together again before your face, O Lord. We thank you for giving us your word and always pointing out in what way, O Lord, you have redeemed us, purchased us, and cleansed us. My God, we thank you that we may be your children by grace, O Lord. So grant us grace this morning too, O Lord, to hear your word, to receive it. Give us grace, Lord, and anoint the lips and the tongue, O God, through which you will speak and want, O God, that all our hearts may be addressed, so that we may offer you the praise and the honor, O God. For you have gone for us, you have redeemed us and purchased us. Bless us and have mercy on us. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I have said it often enough. People always write history when things have already happened. All human historiography consists of the reporting of what has happened. The history of the plan of salvation has been purposed from eternity and written down in advance. Prophets and men of God were able to write what was to happen and would happen thousands of years in advance in the most accurate way, because they were under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. For all of us who have just returned from the Israel trip, we still remember this when we read the prophecies of the Old Testament in our evening meetings and then looked at the fulfillment in the New Testament. It is something sublime, something beyond all doubt, and that is what matters. We cannot possibly base our eternal salvation on things that are not beyond all doubt. If a thing has not been proved by God to be true and genuine, then we can keep our hands off it. Therefore, in this place, in all humility, but in all seriousness, we place all our weight on the Word of God, not on what men say, interpret, mean, and explain, but only on what God has said, in the awareness and conviction that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will remain forever. And all who have received God's Word into themselves carry this divine seed in their hearts. And this divine seed must and will sprout, and it will produce divine fruit. This is a law of God. Let everything bring forth after its own kind. Just as God has ordered the earthly creation, so He has done with the spiritual. And we are so grateful that there is not only an earthly life, but also a heavenly life. Not just this world, but also that world. Not just a death, but also a resurrection. Isn't that something marvelous? Imagine if we had to be in this, I call it a miserable world, without hope and without God. Yes, what sense would life have then? Thanks be to the Lord, who has mercy on us, who has pardoned us and drawn us to Himself and made us sons and daughters of God. We read it in the opening word, which I will come back to in a moment. Yesterday evening, we had such a harmonious and wonderful wedding feast, and I would like to take it as an opportunity to begin with a word from Revelation 19 and then come back to 1 John 3 and then very briefly to Hebrews chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 19 from verse 1 it says, And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's something wonderful when we can easily agree with the whole testimony of the Holy Scriptures. If we can receive every word from the heart, that is a great grace. We know that the things described here will also take place. There will be a great wedding feast and a great multitude who will attend. The only question is, as the songwriter expressed it, who will pass through the pearly gates as the victor? Will it be you? Will it be me? The entry will take place. The wedding feast will be. Will all of us who have heard God's word, who have followed the Lord, will we be there by grace? We can claim it for ourselves in faith, not out of presumption, not because of our own works that we have done, but because we rely entirely on what God has done for us in Christ. Here it says, of the bride, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. She has adorned herself. She has had herself prepared for this great and glorious wedding day, and may then enter into it. And with the bridegroom of our souls, we will then celebrate the wedding feast in glory. Here on earth, so many things are done for such an occasion. Tables are decorated, meals are prepared, everything is looked after. What will it be like there, in that glory? Before the Lord left this earth, he said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Paul expresses it in the words, what no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and what has not entered the heart of man, God has prepared for those who love him. This is the condition for those who love him. And the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And our brother has read it to us, that this true love of God for one another and among one another must be made manifest. There is no man who can say, I love God, and at the same time does not love his brother or sister. Such a person lies and deceives himself from top to bottom, and is not worthy to utter these words. With God, only that which can stand before him is valid, and only those things can stand before him where words and deeds match. If our words do not match what is happening, then we can save them. It says in 1 John 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The love of God is an active, and to speak with our brother's words, a transforming love, a love that reveals itself, communicates itself, is heard, seen, and experienced in practice. It is not enough to testify to it only with the mouth, with the lips. In 1 John 3, in the same chapter, we have read, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and so we are. Here we have two things in direct succession. We are to be called children of God, point one. Point two, we must be able to say with conviction, and so we are. Blessed is the person who has had this experience with God. And you all know, the older you get, the more you worry about what will it be like when this earthly life comes to an end. And sometimes we tend to criticize others and forget to apply the standard to ourselves. But we simply want to be honest before God and say, Lord, how can I stand my ground before you? What are the conditions for us to be with you in glory? It's easy, and I'm even writing it in a book now, it's easy to judge and say that people are saved with salvific sacraments from birth to death. And then comes the statement, after they have gone home, that they are not up, but down somewhere. But this criticism or realization does not bring you and me up there. We must be true in our hearts and ask God to show us the way that will lead us personally to our goal. It is absolutely not enough to realize that many paths lead past the goal. That could be one side. The second and necessary one is to find the path that leads us to our goal, to have the experiences with God that put into our lives what we need in order to be taken up. When we read here, I think it's written in Romans chapter 5 about the power of God that is to transform our bodies. And this power of God must be in us so that this earthly body can be transformed. Firstly, in Romans chapter 5, it says from verse 4, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If we look closely at this word, we have to ask ourselves every time, can we say the same thing? Reading alone will not get us there. We must have had the same experiences. So the love of God must have been poured into your heart and mine through an experience like that of the disciples and the believers in the early church in general. Today, let it be complained to God, we have a flattened Christianity, and people are automatically told, you are converted, you are believers, you have the Holy Spirit. Are we converted? Are we believers? Do we have the Holy Spirit? That is the question. If someone tells us that it is all there, it doesn't have to be. But it is desirable that it is. And if it happened, we would all realize it. The nice thing about the early church was that they didn't just talk about such experiences or claim them, but that it was proven to be the case. And we are all convinced that the church should now, at the end of the time of grace, come back to where it was at the beginning. And this actually includes everything that was present in the church in early Christianity, so that it would also be present in us. Romans 8 verse 11 says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. These days we hear so much about the return of the Lord, about the transformation of our bodies, about the rapture, about the meeting with Him in the air, and then of course also about the marriage supper. And we rejoice in this, but then there's also a deep pain connected with the question, who will actually be there? Here it says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, so if the same Spirit of God dwells in us, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We must fully understand this, and not only that, we must strive to ensure that we actually have the prerequisite for the transformation of our bodies, and that is that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, has already taken dwelling in the believers, not as an idea, not as a thought, but in reality. What use is the idea to us? It certainly won't transform us. No, the same Spirit, the same power of God that raised up Jesus from the dead. This was not an idea. It was power, the power of God, that could make the mortal immortal, that made the dead alive. And we all know about the resurrection on the third day, and then about the ascension. So, the same Spirit of God, the same power of God, must dwell in our mortal bodies, so that we can be made alive through this Spirit. I have said it sometimes. I don't want to be there when the disappointment among millions comes to light at the return of the Lord. People who thought they would be there and then will be left behind. Unbelievers will not experience disappointment on that day. They mock and say today, I'd rather go down. All my friends are already there, and so on. You hear it again and again, that they say things that hurt you, but you can't help it. The disappointment will not be with atheists and the wicked. They don't expect it. They have no hope. They don't even believe in life after death. There can be no disappointment for them. They will be dissatisfied with their lot. But the disappointment will be with them, as our Lord said very clearly in the parable in Matthew 25, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. And this refers to all believers in the parable who will be on earth when the Lord returns. And it goes right through the middle. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 went in and 5 stayed behind. Exactly half. That's how it will be at the return of the Lord. And this word is also connected with the wedding. And behind it we read these sad words, and the door was shut. It says here in verse 3, Matthew 25, or already verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour. Beloved, what we have just read could have come true in the near future, could already be behind us, and the day is so close, and the hour is so near, that it could be at any moment. Oh, how it should be with us all, that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and say, Lord, not in unbelief, but nevertheless with a very real self-examination, saying, Lord, do I have what is necessary to meet you, or will I lack it at your return? Will the lack come to light? Whoever then sets out will return after the door has already been closed. Hence, this earnest admonition to be ready to meet the Lord beforehand. Now the word from Hebrews chapter 2. Here we are so urgently admonished. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. What a marvelous word! Here is the warning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Not men, but the Lord himself has come, has redeemed us, has brought us grace, salvation and forgiveness. Golgotha is for us the point or the place or the event where God and humanity were united, reconciled and joined together. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Here, we are told of ear witnesses who reliably reported this. There are people who wonder who may have written the letters to the Hebrews, but from the fact that it cannot be said we were eye and ear witnesses, but as it is written here, which was then reliably confirmed to us by the ear witnesses, It is clear from this that the epistles to the Hebrews were written by a man who was told by the ear witnesses what had happened. Of all the apostles, there was one who was well versed in Judaism, in the law, in the word of God, who had not fished, but who had been taught. God was able to use him in a special way to set forth the plan of salvation in such a marvelous way, in such an overview. We are all grateful to God that these men, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, were able to write down and teach us everything we need to know. And the connections that we would never have been able to put together have been presented here in a unified and harmonious way. Blessed are all the people who stand, walk, think, and act in the same spirit in which these men of God were, that it could be transferred to us, and that we could actually, like them, be placed in the divine plan of salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? But it does not end there. God has confirmed it, and we are simply waiting for it. I wish it would begin today, that God's confirmation would be added to his word. The moment divine confirmation fails to materialize, we have no answer. We do not yet have certainty that he heard us, and that the matter can and will stand before him. Here it is written, in verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Both belong together. The proclamation of the word and the confirmation by God. In this way, the word is made alive to us personally. We receive certainty, and it is not only love that will then have feet to walk on, but also faith. Faith will also have two healthy feet to stand on. And there we have the Old and New Testament in the divine connection through the word of prophecy, and can stand in faith on the unshakable rock of salvation. God has pardoned us. Here we hear about the salvation that has been given to us, but which we must accept personally. We have heard that we are now to be called God's children, and we are. May it come true for each of us. May it come true today. There is no point in us listening to the sermon now and focusing our thoughts on the future. God wants us to give him the answer under the preaching of the word, and he can also give us the answer. That is our need. We listen to God's word year in, year out. We go home and think about it, nothing against it. But it should actually be the case that we enter into dialogue with God during the sermon. And not only that, but that we receive the answer from Him. With Him, words and deeds always coincide. Promise and fulfillment belong together with God. He cannot say and then not do. He cannot promise and then not fulfill. No, with God they go together harmoniously. First the sermon, then faith by hearing, and then the experience, the reception of what God has told us through the sermon from His Word. And we are convinced that God wants to give us many gifts. He has the fullness. And He says it in the Gospel of John in chapter 10. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And it continues until the verse, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. May it please the Lord at this time to put such an abundance of blessing into His church, to which we would like to count ourselves among in faith, that it could become audible, tangible, visible, that God would be with us and among us, not only in words, but indeed in reality. To Him who loved us, who gave Himself up for us, who shed His blood for us, who redeemed us, to Him be heartfelt thanks for all His grace, for His faithfulness, for calling us out and drawing us to Himself out of pure love. On top of that, He has put the desire in us to be ready when He returns to take His own home. That will be the most beautiful day for us, beloved. That is the ultimate goal of our proclamation, not only to play church here on earth with everything that may belong to it, but beyond the earthly character of a church, we want to be the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And as it says here in Hebrews, to be among those who belong to the church of the firstborn. I think it's in chapter 12, Hebrews 12, here it says in verses 23, Hebrews 12, perhaps already from verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Here, the bridge is built from the earthly local church to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Not just the church in which we are registered on earth, but the church that is registered in heaven. That is the most important thing. We want to belong to it. We would like to be among them by grace. There are earthly churches, and beyond that, there is one universal church of the living God, which consists of all those who have been pardoned, who have received forgiveness, who have received new life from God, who have been filled with divine life by the Spirit of God, equipped with divine power, which can then transform us out of these earthly bodies in order to stand before Him. Be ready to stand before Him and enter into His glory, as the song goes. May God grant us all to be present at that great and glorious marriage supper. To Him who began, it is He who will finish and complete. To Him we want to offer our thanks even now. Amen. We stand up and thank the Lord together. Heavenly Father, from our hearts we thank You for Your precious and holy word, and moreover for the fact that You have given us the promises therein and will fulfill what You have said. Faithful Savior, we are gathered here today before Your face and have heard Your word. In a little while, it will all be history behind us. O faithful Lord, who will pass through the pearly gates as the victor? Will it be You? Will it be me? As the song goes, who will join the choir of angels? Lord, when this great multitude sings before Your throne, we want to be there. Help us. Have mercy on us. Forgive. Cleanse. Sanctify us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Faithful God, save us from the worst disappointment at the end of our journey of faith. Give us grace before Your face to have all that we need to stand our ground before You. Faithful Lord, may Your holy blood, Your Holy Spirit, and Your holy word be effective in us, so that we may not lack in the glorious morning when You return. Lord, we long to be revitalized by Your Spirit. May the showers of blessing fall, and may Your Spirit be upon the people while the word is preached, working in our hearts, so that no one goes as he came. Even now, Lord, we ask You to preserve Your word for us, that we may move it in our hearts and believe that You will fulfill it. Beloved Lord, show us the way we should go. Tell us what You want done. We are here to do Your will. O God, help us to do it. We can't do it by ourselves. We fall by the wayside with all our intentions. We trust You and ask You, have mercy on us. Help us with words and deeds, and give us the quickening power, the power of God that carries us along, that transforms us, and which will remain in us, so that our mortal bodies can also be made immortal. Lord, we also pray for our brother from Lagos. We pray for the whole of Africa. We pray for everyone in the whole world, on all continents. We have one more wish. If it is in Your will, give us the grace that your everlasting gospel may be preached according to your holy counsel, as you yourself said in Matthew 24:14, for a witness to all nations. Give us a share in this by grace. Lord, we want to offer your glorious gospel of salvation, forgiveness, reconciliation to all of mankind in a worthy way. And we ask you, open the hearts that they may believe it, that they may have part in it and be saved and blessed. To you, the true God, we give thanks from the bottom of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.